Thank you for tuning in to Richardson Cove Baptist Church Podcast. We join our weekly broadcast of our Sunday morning worship service.
We're still in the book of James. We're in James chapter 2. We've already jumped into the second chapter, so if you would stand with me, we'll read about 13 verses. Then we'll take a look at what he's got in here. James chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say unto the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Father, as we pray to you, and these words are hard for us to read. It's hard for us to dissect and digest what your word is declaring to us this morning. How hard it is for us to look at others the way you look at us. How difficult it is for us to not categorize people and to be respecters of persons and positions. But God, we know that your word screams to us today that we need to refuse to do that. God, there are so many lessons that we're learning from the book of James. There's so many things that are vital to our everyday growth, spiritual growth and development. We know, God, they're important to us as we live lives, try to live lives as godly Christians, as we aspire to be like you, Jesus, as we try to have the mind of Christ, we try to live in a way that would please you and walk the path that you would have us to walk. Lord, the book of James declares these truths to us. Forgive me of all of my sins, God, and anything that would hinder me in your service today. I thank you for those that have already contributed to the service this morning. I'm thankful, God, all that have had part in it. We're excited to be here. We're thankful that we're able to lift up and praise your name in this house, your house. And we pray, God, that all of us, as we're gathered here today, we're gathered together this morning, that you will preach to us what you want us to hear. That, God, you'll give us the word that we need today from this precious book. That you'll guide us as we look through your word and your scripture, God, and place us where we need to be. May you be glorified. May you calm all of our fears, as Amanda talked about. Perfect love casts out all fear. We know that, God. And what fears and what reservations and what hindrances we have this morning, we know you're bigger than all the things that will oppose us. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. We love you, Jesus, and we pray your blessings as we continue this service. In your holy name we pray, amen. When we think about this section of the book of James, how we behave toward other people, how we treat other people, how we look at other people is a very true reflection of what we believe about God. I don't like saying that. because I know how that sometimes I've treated people. Have you always treated people great? Have you always had great respect for everybody you've come in contact with? I don't think that we have. I think that we all have our faults. And if we go back and we survey ourselves, and we look at ourselves, we look at our character, we look at what we've done in years past, and we see the pattern there, we see how we've treated people, how we treat people, how we behave toward other people really determines what we truly believe about Jesus Christ. I can say I believe one thing about Christ, but my actions may speak another thing. And James, boy, he hits it right between the eyes when he talks to us about this respecter of persons and all these things that he's revealing to us in chapter 2. And so what I felt as I study this is I feel like we're not just being instructed by James, but I feel like we're really peering into the heart of James as who James was. You know, as preachers, and I know any of you guys that are here that are preachers, what happens as we preach and the scriptures that we're led to, a lot of times we'll preach things that we're struggling with most. I'm led to the passage of scriptures that I need to learn more about. I'm led to those things that I need to be reminded of in my life. So a lot of times when we hear a preacher preach, it's not so much that, don't think that he's trying to just blast you and point the finger at you and be judgmental or condemning toward you for the things you've done. A lot of times it's a direct reflection of the things we're struggling with. I know why that I'm led to the book of James, because I'm not really living the book of James. I could do a whole lot better than I'm doing right now. So we've already had some challenging things that we've looked at through the first chapter, and my goodness, we could probably go on and on in the first chapter, but we're going to try to move on and get some more stuff and get some more things to really be convicted about. And when you look in these first four verses, that's the first collection that we find. He's talking about this whole respecter of persons thing. There's nothing wrong with us respecting somebody, but what Jesus is talking about is us more giving praise, honor, glory, and respect to somebody because of who we think they are, because of the position or the authority that they may have, not necessarily according to who they are on the inside, but what we see or perceive them to be on the outside. 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Here's where Jesus looks. We know that Jesus looks on the heart. We know that God looks on the heart. Do we look on the heart when we approach somebody? Matthew chapter 22 and verse 16 says, and they sent unto him their disciples. These are the religious leaders send their disciples to Jesus. They send unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man, of men. So even those people that didn't like Jesus understood that Jesus is somebody, it don't matter who you think you are. It doesn't matter who other people think you are. Jesus knows who you are, and he treats everyone the same way. It doesn't matter who we are, where we've come from, what we've done, what we've not done, how much we think of ourselves, or how little we think of ourselves. Everyone is equal in the eyes of the Lord. And I got to say, that's one of the biggest things we struggle with as Christians, isn't it? And how we deal with people. How quick are you to judge somebody right off the bat? How quick are we to assume about somebody? As soon as we see them, we make an assumption as to what kind of person that is. I will say this. I will say that there's a difference in spiritual discernment and having a judgmental attitude. They're different. Both, we know that having spiritual discernment is a great thing to have. But spiritual discernment is not having a judgmental attitude about somebody according to what we see when they approach us. Somebody might approach us that maybe has a lot of money, or somebody approach us that has no money. Looking at their outward appearance, we may think that or judge that. Well, that's placing judgment on somebody, and we will respond to that person according to what we think they have or what we think they don't have. Spiritual discernment, on the other hand, is regardless of how much you have, how much you don't have, what you think or what you don't think about yourself. Spiritual discernment is when we look at somebody and regardless of what we may see on the outside, we look into the heart and we see somebody that needs Jesus Christ. I mean, it's like what they were talking about earlier about Jesus. Paul went and told everybody, didn't he, Scott? You were saying, didn't matter who you came in contact with. When he went into every city, he was telling everybody about Jesus. You know what's beautiful about Paul? It didn't matter who he talked to, where he went, what city he was in. If he was talking with kings and queens, or if he was talking to beggars on the street, here's the beauty of Paul and his message. He had the same message to declare to everybody, that there's only one way into salvation, and it's through that precious blood of Jesus Christ, the only way you're going to get saved. I want to share a few verses of Scripture, and I'm going to tell you, I don't like them. You're not going to like them either, but I'm going to be in Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter 14, we're going to look at a few verses of Scripture about how Jesus tells us we need to relate to people and how we need to look at people. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse number 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, this is what Jesus said, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. He's saying, if you're invited to a feast of some sort, if you're invited to an event, don't just walk in there and go up and take the best seat in the house, is what he's saying. Don't take the highest seat because you think you may deserve it. Verse number 10, he says, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee come, he may say unto thee, friend, go up hither. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He said, don't come in and assume a position or a place of authority. Don't, because you think a whole lot of yourself, don't come in and think everybody else thinks a whole lot of you. Be aware that we need to humble ourselves before God and look to others the same way. Matthew chapter number 23, I'm going to read about 13 verses, but listen, this is some good stuff and it hits us hard. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and the disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do it. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They're saying these religious people are telling you everything you need to be doing, but they're not going to lift a finger to see that the work is accomplished. Basic dictators. Verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They wear regal garments and they want flowing gowns so that as they come by that everybody will see them and make note of them and want to be around them. Verse 6, and they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Oh, they love it when they're walking down the street and somebody comes up to them, oh, Master, oh, Rabbi, can I have a word with you? They love to be spoken to in crowds so that they can receive praise and accolades from all the people that walk by. Verse 8, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your Master, even Christ, and all your brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your Master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then he begins in verse number 13, he says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. And he begins in verse number 13, 8 times he says this, woe unto you, woe unto you. He continues verse 14, 15, 16, verse number 23, verse number 25. And in between those other verses, here's what he says, you fools and you blind. In verse 24, he says, you blind guides. He goes over in verse number 33, he says, you serpents, you generation of vipers. When Jesus is talking to us about how people think of themselves and what they perceive of other people, he's declaring to us, this is a big problem that we have, and we need to get a hold of it. What he's saying basically is we need to have spiritual eyes to see the world the way Jesus sees the world. Are there people that you would shun because you just think they're going to want something out of you? Are there people you will avoid, if at all possible, because you know it's not somebody you want to spend time with? And why is it that we're that way? Do we avoid certain people because we know there's nothing to gain from being around them? Wow. Are there folks that we really like being around? Are we one of those kind of people that when we see somebody in a crowd, man, I want to just inch my way up there and get as close to them as I can. Hey, Rabbi, Rabbi. Perhaps we call them by a different name, but it's still the same thing. We're bringing a title to somebody, and we want to be around that person because we want whatever they've got to rub off on us. We see they're popular. We see they're important. We see they're someone that people respect in the community, and we want to be around them. Why? Because we want to have an association with them. We want to be mentioned in the same sentence that their name is mentioned in. What kind of person is that? I'll tell you what kind of person that is. That is a respecter of persons, and I believe God despises respecters of persons. He wants us to look at everybody the same way Jesus looks at us. That's the problem. We'll look at other people and respect a position of authority or a position of prominence and want to be around them. And on the same token, we will want to become that person and want everybody to come around us. Who don't want to be popular? Nobody. Everybody wants to be popular, don't you? I mean, everybody wants to have folks come around them. You don't want to be alone. We want to have friends. We want to have people. So it's natural for us to have these types of connections. There's nothing wrong with us desiring to have friendships. That is a good thing. How we go about it is where the problem comes in. He's telling us in these first four verses of James chapter 2, be careful how we look at people and be careful of how we want other people to look at us. I thought about James. I thought about him maybe while he was young, while he was a kid. Younger brother of Jesus. We've already talked about this before. Who's always going to be the best child? Jesus. Who's never going to get blamed for anything wrong? Jesus. Who's more than likely going to get blamed if anything bad happens? James. Because he's one of the younger siblings of Jesus. And Jesus did no wrong. Jesus made no mistakes. Jesus didn't sin. He was perfect because he is God. So I wonder if James, as he was growing up, and the reason he deems this very important, talking about this respect or person thing. I wonder as he grew up and as he saw Jesus, did he know, I don't know how you live in the same house with Jesus and not know that it's God, but if he knew that he was God, what caused him to resist embracing him and accepting him as being the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Well, perhaps it was what he wrote about here, how he looked at Jesus. Maybe he thought that because Jesus didn't come the way that he wanted him to come, he didn't come with all authority and born in a prominent family to be established as the king of the Jews. Perhaps that's why James was reluctant to want to follow him, because James had grown up a religious person, And he wanted to see somebody as his Savior different than who he saw in his house. Yeah, Jesus was perfect. He did everything right. But I want my Savior to be this kind of guy. I want him riding on a stallion, not on a donkey as he comes into town. I want him to be sitting upon a throne and ruling with boldness. That's the King that I want. That's the Savior that I want. That's the Christ that I want. I don't want my brother, who just because he's perfect, I don't want him to be king. And he understood that he was a respecter of persons. And you know what? That may be one of the very reasons why James was reluctant to embrace Jesus until after Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. Maybe that's what happened to James, is he had had this vision, he'd had this view, he'd had this carnal outlook on people, and he had done that perhaps his whole life, and he's telling us, man, this is important, we need to get this, we need to understand it's important how we look at people. I get it, we're human, I get it that we want to be around people, and we like excitement, we like wonderful things, we like being a part of the in crowd, we like being a part of things that are exciting. But if we're not careful, you know what's going to happen? If we're not careful, we're going to miss God and we're going to miss opportunities that God gives us to serve Him and to be a blessing in the lives of the people that we come in contact with. I believe that Jesus intentionally went to those people that were lower than the lowest. He didn't go to the high ups, did he? He didn't go to the rich people. He didn't go to the kings and queens. He didn't go into the most prominent communities and find people to be his followers and his disciples. No, he went along the seashore and he talked to those people that were fishing. He talked to those tax collectors that everybody hated and despised. He talked to those guys and he said, hey, I want you to come and follow me. I thought about as Jesus went through and he selected each of his 12 followers to follow him. As he met with them, he already knew who he was going to call. He knew he was going to follow. But as he went to them, he spoke to them. You and I could look, standing next to Jesus, we could look at Peter and we could say, that guy's going to be one of the leaders in the new church. Are you kidding me? I mean, that guy not only stinks, but I mean, he's rough. He's rough around the edges. He mouths off all the time. He says stuff before he thinks. How is this guy ever going to be an influence for anything good? I just don't see Peter being that kind of guy. I don't see it advancing to where this man's going to be beneficial to the kingdom of God. I just see him as just some old rough guy down there fishing. And I don't see a whole lot more in him. But when Jesus looked and he saw Peter, you know what he saw? He saw great possibilities within him. He saw the man, yeah, he was outspoken, no doubt. He was a man that spoke his mind a lot of times before he thought about it. And I'm sure he had to seek forgiveness a lot as time went on because he said things. Even after he was involved in the church, he would speak a lot of times before he would think about what he was going to say. But Jesus looked in him and he saw something precious there. He saw something because he didn't respect or disrespect the position that Peter was in. Who wants to select a fisherman to be a great leader in something? Well, back in that day, being a fisherman was pretty much an average job. It was a common job. You know, anybody that had a boat, they could go out with a net, catch a few fish, bring them in, provide for their family, sell the rest at market, and make a decent living for themselves. It was your average person was somebody that was fishing down along the sea, and so a lot of people did it. So it was tough for him to barely make ends meet. But who would look at Peter and say, I see something greater in you? I tell you who would, Jesus would. And what Jesus is trying to teach us through this book and letter that he wrote, that James wrote, is for us to not respect people or disrespect people according to who they are and what positions they have. Because you know what God does? He looks on the heart just like he did with David. We know that whole story, don't we? All the other brothers came through. They're not worthy to be the next king that I'm going to anoint. Even though they're suited for battle, they're older, they're wiser, they seem to be those kind of military minds that would be great men to lead Israel. But God said through Samuel to each one, no, 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 all the way to the youngest. Do you not have any more? I got one more, the runt, but he's out tending the sheep. Bring him in. Boom, David's here. There's the king. Wow, talk about not being a respecter of persons. If we could select any of those brothers, I know that David will be the least one we would select to be the next king. I want somebody strong with authority, with a powerful voice. I want somebody with some military intelligence to be able to step in there and be the next king over Israel. But God said, I'm not going to look at anybody like that, because what's greater is what's on the inside than what you perceive on the outside. Amen. You know, when you've got the Pharisee and the publican that went in to pray that day, publican stood back at the door and beat on his chest and said, I'm not worthy to even enter in the house of God. The Pharisee stood up and he declared before all those people there all the things he'd done. He was a great tither. He gave above and beyond all that God required of him, and yada, yada. He just continued on with all these wonderful things that he had done. You know those kind of people? You know any of them? When they're around you, they like to tell you all the wonderful things that they're doing for the benefit of mankind. I'm trying not to look at anybody directly. But here's the thing about it. Both those guys can get up and mouth off as to who they think they are or what they think they are. But you know something? God looks right to the very heart. God knew that that publican that was terrified to even come into the house because he knew he was so unworthy. He knew that it wasn't an outward show of, oh, I'm just so meek and humble. It wasn't that he was trying to draw attention to himself pretending to be humble. He was literally broken within, and it came out. Jesus knew that was a broken man, a man in need of forgiveness, a man in need of salvation. He saw that Pharisee stand in the middle of the crowd praying and chanting and all these kind of things, and he knew that that man was somebody who was so struck on himself, God said, I am far from that man. That's the man we saw in Matthew 23 that all those eight woes went out to, is the man that struck on himself. Be cautious to not be a respecter of persons or a disrespecter of persons. Don't think more or less of someone else, and for sure don't think more or less of yourself. James, beginning in verse number 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor in this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Wow. He's gone from us looking at people and assuming things to conforming to a certain way of life for acceptance. Is conformity a word, teachers? Is conformity? Anybody? Nobody? Is that a word? Sounds like a great word. Conformity. If it's not a word, we're going to call it a word. Conformity to acceptance. I like that. So here's the problem. We find ourselves adapting certain things because we want to fit in. So he's telling us not only be cautious of being someone that looks at people and tries to draw close or farther away according to what we think of those folks. Look on the heart and see everybody is a soul that needs Jesus. But in that same concept, don't allow yourself to be sucked into something and become a part of something that is ungodly because you're desiring to fit in. Wow, how many times have you and I compromised our beliefs over the years because we desire to fit in? There was a time when Peter, this great rock and great pillar in the early church, decided that, well, I'm going to hang around these Gentiles and these non-Jews because these guys need to hear the gospel. Absolutely, they do. You know, Jesus said, we're going to send that gospel out. It's going out to all over the world. And so as he's sharing this gospel with these people, when some of the Jews would come in and find themselves around Peter and some of these Gentiles, you know what Peter would do? It's kind of like if we're, here's a perfect situation. We're in the cafeteria at lunchtime at school, okay? We're in there. And we're over there sitting with somebody that we feel like, you know something? That's somebody that God inspires you to go sit with them, that person. They need a friend. That's somebody that's new to school, first day, maybe they've had a difficult time or whatever, and we take our tray over and we sit beside of them. Then all of a sudden, while we're sitting there talking to them, we look over as the door coming into the cafeteria, we see a lot of those cool kids coming in. Oh, man. So, hey, I'll check you later, buddy. And we get our tray and we make our way around till we go where the cool kids are going to sit down because We want to be a friend to somebody like that as long as nobody else of importance sees us. I don't know any better way to describe that. That's what Peter was doing. And you know what happened? Oh, Paul called him out. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Oh, Paul called him out. He went up and said, "What do you think you're doing?" I'm going to tell you something. I love Paul. I think Paul is amazing. He didn't care, buddy. He didn't care who it was, what it was. He was going to preach it. He was going to teach it. He was going to do his best to live it. He was going to do everything he could to get the Word of God into people. He didn't care who he offended. He wanted to just honor the Word in everything that he did. He got old Peter to the side. He said, "Hey, buddy, listen, what you're doing is wrong. You're over here socializing with these Gentiles, but as soon as some of these Jewish brothers of yours come in, you get up and move to the other table because you don't want to be seen with them. What's wrong with you? Hey, don't be afraid to spread the gospel to everybody. Don't be a respecter of persons." Because here's the problem we get into when we get in this whole respecter of persons thing. When we get into this conformity, my new word, for acceptance. When we get in those kind of things, what happens is it starts obviously to hinder our relationship with God and the very people that we're trying to conform to be accepted with are the very people that have a desire to want to destroy our life and our walk with God. What was this one verse that he said? Verse 7, note again, he said, "Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called." Are these people you're trying to satisfy and please and be included with, they're not the very ones that are blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ. So not only are we foolish enough to try to conform to something, but we'll find ourselves trying to conform to something so ungodly, we're conforming to people that are blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ. "Oh, preacher, I would never do that." Sure, are you sure? Can you promise that? Can we promise we'll never be that person? Be careful if you say, "I promise," because that'll be the very next thing you do. Don't be a respecter of persons. Don't be conforming to the world for acceptance within this world. Here's the beauty of being accepted. Hannah prayed in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse 7 and 8. "The Lord maketh poor, and he maketh rich. He bringeth low, and he lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them." See, it's the Lord that's going to put you in a place of honor and dignity if you need to be placed there. I love that story and parable that he shared about coming to a wedding and desiring one of the lower seats. He said, "It's so much nicer if you come in and you take the back seat in the wedding and just, I'm just going to be right here, man. I'll get whatever's left over." Then you have somebody prominent in that wedding party come over and say, "Hey, friend, come on up here. I've got a spot I want you to sit in." Then you can go and take that position and you can worship and praise and know that that's the calling of the Master. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." 1 Corinthians 3:11-13 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon that foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall be rewarded." That's what God is screaming to us. That's what he wants us to learn from these scriptures. Don't conform to the world. Understand that God is the one that will bring you the honor that you need. I don't need to be glorified in this world, do you? It's not going to last. Honor is here. Honor in this world is here today and gone tomorrow. You know what they call them in the music, used to call them in the old music biz? A one-hit wonder. Man, you can get all the recognition, you can get all the praise for about 3 days. Boom, then 20 years later, they're saying, "Well, I wonder where that old guy's at." Because nobody knows, and honestly, nobody cares. But that's the world we live in. The world don't really care about you. The world's not really concerned about you. And whatever prestige you think you might have, the world could care less. The only reason the world would be involved in it is if the world thinks it can get something out of it. Let's be concerned about the one that gives us true honor and can place us in proper positions that we need to be in. Let's let God be the one to decide where we're going to fit and what we're going to do. Then we get in that last collection of verses, verse 8 through 13. If you fulfill the royal law, I love how it called it, the royal law. According to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. For if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law transgressor. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, wow, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if you kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Matthew chapter number 22, verse 36 to 40 says this. They asked Jesus, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. Do you want? He's saying, I'm giving you the instructions in how to fulfill the law. I'm giving you the instructions of how you can glorify God in your life, how you can please Him, how you cannot fall into the trap of being a respecter of persons, how you cannot fall into the trap of trying to conform to be accepted in certain situations. Here's our main goal, and here's what God is telling us. Learn the Word, understand the Word, and do the Word. In this, you will glorify God, and you will be the witness, and you will have that spiritual discernment you need to have for everybody you come in contact with. It's by loving God with everything you have and loving your neighbor as yourself. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Those variables are there. He's telling us what we need to do, and He's telling us the effect that it's going to have on others when we do it. We've got to love. Don't respect people because of who we think they are, or disrespect them because of who we think they're not. Love people. No greater example than the Good Samaritan that came in and picked the guy up. I mean, did he really need to or have to? No, he didn't have to. Matter of fact, this was a guy that probably hated him and despised him. Had the tables been reversed, I don't know that the Jew would have picked up the Samaritan. But the Samaritan came by, and you know what he saw lying in a dish? He saw somebody hurt, wounded, that needed help. He didn't see great wealth that he could gain from you in the future. Oh boy, hey, you see that guy? He had a wreck. I'm going to help him out because I might get something back out of that. I can benefit from this. I want to help somebody because I can gain something in it. He didn't know who the guy was. He's probably so bloody he couldn't tell who it was, didn't care who it was. He saw a soul that had a need. And he jumped in that ditch and he picked him up and he cleaned him up and he took him to an inn and he paid for a few nights stay at the inn. He paid for some medical treatment for him and he paid for some food. And he said, here, whatever you spend above what I've given you, listen to this. Yeah, you remember this part of the story. He said, as he left him there, whatever you spend on him until he gets well, if I didn't give you enough right now, when I come back, I will gladly pay it when I return. Wow. This guy, he didn't even know. Sometimes we won't cross the street for somebody we do know. Amen. Jesus is teaching us that if we desire to fulfill the law, it's by our loving God first, and in loving Him, love everybody else. I'm going to tell you, that's the downfall of many churches, is because there's no genuine love. I thank God for the love that I feel here. I thank God that there is great love here. But it doesn't hurt to get back in the book of James and be reminded that we need to continue in that love, because if we're not careful, if we let that guard down for just a moment, the enemy will come in and we'll begin to start looking at people a different way than we should be looking at people. We need to look at people with a discernment from the Spirit rather than a judgmental attitude on the appearance that we see. And remember this, how we treat others, how we behave and respond to others is a sure sign of what we believe about Jesus Christ.
We would like to thank you for joining us. If you would like more information about our church, please visit rcbc.us, and God bless you.